Do you have a story?
You know, I'll often ask people in workshops about leadership do-over, moments that they wish they, you know, could do differently. And and because this book is new, this workshop is new around the book, but I've heard a couple of stories. The one that comes to mind for me is, it's, I do tell it in the book, it's about two different reactions to a 360-degree feedback. They're both construction companies, both unionized construction companies in Chicago, right? Like, so these are like, you know, big-handed, big-shouldered guys, leaders going through a 360-degree feedback process. One guy whose name was Bruce, and in real life that's not his name, I changed it to protect him and his anonymity. Bruce was a pig-headed guy, and he had gotten really harsh feedback that he was obnoxious, that he was dominating, that he never listened to people. It had to be his way or the highway. And his reaction was to blow it off and downplay it as sour grapes by poor performers, and that if it wasn't for him, the company wouldn't be where it is today. So he wasn't receptive to the feedback. And you can imagine it is a humiliating event to get really tough feedback on a 360. A second leader, a guy named Derek, he got this, maybe even worse with the things about him. They talked about him being edgy. They talked about him being a coiled spring. In other words, he had a hot temper. In addition to the other things that the other person had heard in terms of being obnoxious and over-dominating, not listening. And in his case, his initial reaction was to be sensitive to it and want to come up with excuses. But after a while, he just sort of sat with it, the pain of it. And then he said, well, how do my results compare to other people? And this is something I hear a lot from really competitive people. Well, how did I do compared to the next guy?
Right.
Especially in construction companies. And I said, well, Derek, you know, I got to be honest with you, not too well. And I think that really bothered him. And he wanted to do better. He said, so what do I do? And so we intensified our executive coaching. And so I would meet with him every 2 weeks for 90 minutes, either by phone or in person. He started journaling around leadership. He started identifying leaders he admired and what he admired about them. He paid close attention to the actions that he would take to do things differently based on the, you know, sort of feedback that he had gotten. For him, it became the instigation of positive leadership changes by humiliation. He was humiliated by the tough feedback that he got, but it caused a personal transformation in him. He started taking care of himself, for example. He was all about the work. He was way out of balance and was uptight all the time because he was making no time for himself. He didn't have a social life outside of work. So he made all these positive changes. The cool thing, Dan, was like 5 years later, in a leadership program that he had been in, is how I first met him, I had two of his direct reports. And they were, when they would refer to him, they were talking about what a great leader he was, what a mentor he was to them. And it really showed me, it was like proof positive that the changes in him had really taken hold, that they weren't at the surface level, that they had really truly transformed who he was. The interesting sort of epilogue to this story is I spoke with him last week for the first time in like 7 years. And it was great to catch up with him, and we were just sort of reminiscing. And it was clear to me the big shift for him, you know, he was an engineer, and the big shift for him, when you sort of bottom line it, is that he started paying attention to his people, and he started listening to them more, and started spending time with them, not just focused on what directive he had for them, but about where their careers are going and what do they need from him. And, you know, it was a total shift from his outlook about himself to focusing on them.